Hello and welcome to the Dice and Die Show. Sean's already giggling at me because I am not comfortable in the host position whatsoever. My name's Lisa. I'm your currently temporary DM GM for a Curse of Strahd campaign that we're running with our regular players, Sean Lee.
Regular.
Welcome.
Well, what an adjective to bring us in. Hi, we're regular. I suppose that's good nowadays.
Average.
I'll settle for average. Hello.
Hello, Sean. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Very well.
Good. Are you over the fact that I've got a very bad Luke impression and Luke is much better at this than me?
Do you know what? It's because like when we did the one shots, and I suppose no one's heard these anyway, but when we was doing all of the one shots, you know, the bit of filler and the specials for Christmas, where I was DMing a couple, so I was sort of doing the hosting role, and it's, you just be like, yeah, so I'll turn up and ask how everyone is and all that shit. But I don't know, Luke has got, it just rolls out of him.
Yeah.
It's your host, your DM, GM, da 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 da. And then he's off, and it's like, okay, where's that come from?
I'm lucky you don't sound like, because I would have understood a word he was saying.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that it sounds easy to do, but then when you actually get in the situation of doing it, it's like,
Yeah, he makes it seem effortless.
Bessie. Yeah.
He will be returning, by the way, listeners.
Just to clarify, he's alive.
Yeah, he is coming back.
He's just had some, you know, busy life shit to deal with, as we all do now and again. And we try to be as flexible as we can in our games. And he's given us time off when we needed time off. And we just try and be as flexible as we can. James, how you doing? James, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. You's all right. Hello, everyone.
Hello. James is here. His wonderful deep voice. So recognisable.
Yeah. Such feminine tones.
The Barry White of D&D.
Barry White of D&D. Yeah, I'm
my
really enjoying...
dragon eye. Ain't good enough for you all of me.
We were just discussing a little bit of James's new character in this campaign, and I'm very much enjoying the... This, playing a standoffish character is really throwing Sean.
Absolutely fucking me, because
it's really throwing me as well. Because just playing a character who's got to keep his mouth shut is so hard.
Do you feel like you're being rude? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's your character doing it.
I would struggle not
to respond to people. You know,
I just feel that I have to curb in my impulsiveness, and it's good for me. So I'm thinking of moving this character over into real life and maybe just becoming
when I need to speak to my boss and
No, he's not really being rude, it's just he's coming across as rude.
Once you get
to know him, you might become endeared towards.
It's rudeness, because he's not, you know,
if you think from his point of view, he doesn't really know what to make of you. It's like, you seem very brash, both of you, and like, you're both very like, and also one minute you seem like you're making a joke, which I'm not sure is a joke, calling me Buddha, and then acting like my pal, and I'm just a little bit confused and I don't really know what to say.
Absolutely.
He doesn't really understand banter in that regard. He's never had a banter partner.
Yeah,
he's never been on the banter bus, guys.
Where I come from, they don't really banter and things. Exactly. They're very solemn people. So.
Banter's not really something you hear about in monasteries much, is it?
No. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I love it, though. It's a really cool dynamic. That's the great thing.
It's hard to figure out as well, which is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's all, we've already got some life in our characters. All the characters seem very good. So.
That is true.
Yeah.
And Aranis, Gav's character, horny as shit. Who knew?
Horny as that is. I'm just, you know, going to try and take some of that over into my real life as well.
I'm all right with that.
Well, yeah, good.
She might thank me for playing D&D.
But, you know, there is something very kind of sexy about vampire lore and gothic horror, and there's always that kind of connotation of the lust of a vampire and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely be getting into that in this campaign.
Yeah, it really suits the tone of the campaign.
Aranis will be getting into it anyway.
Aranis horror set over there.
You were talking earlier, Sean, about some new purchases you'd made, hadn't you, in the old dice realm?
Yeah, well, you know, when the websites you know, very nice and give you keep like constantly giving you 30% discounts and buy two, get one three. You know,
oh, I have to if they're going to give me the
like,
discount.
What, you know? What's,
did you get the duck ones?
So, yeah, so this is Valkyrie, our RPG. Yeah. You know, go and look them up. The unofficial sponsor of the Dice and Die Show. So, yeah, I wanted to get the duck dice, obviously, back in the days when Pock was knocking around.
Before you killed the duck.
Before I killed the duck and then inevitably Pock, possibly. I don't know. So they went out, you know, they sold out very quickly and they literally popped up the other day on my Facebook. And because I know they went so quickly, I was like, I have to buy them because otherwise I'd be gone, you know. So I bought them and then I was like, well, it's 30% off. So I'll get some metal cleric-y type dice as well. It'd be rude not to. So they should be here soon for next week.
Aiding the habit. Well, I bought a little while ago every spell deck, right?
Wow.
For every type of character class that has spells. I got bard spells, I got ranger spells, I got wizard spells, I got the lot. And then I proceeded to buy one of those Pokemon sorting folders.
Oh, yes.
You know, like Pokemon card folders. So I've got a huge file, like, full of spell cards. And they're great. And I love using my spell cards. Mm. They're nice. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a thing online, which are animated spell cards. Holographic animated spell cards.
Whoa. Where?
By a company called Deck of Many. Again, we're not sponsored.
You're right, this hand show.
But yes, they're the coolest thing, and they're such a good idea. And of course, you'd want them. So, like, literally, you know how you used to get like holographic stickers as a kid? There'd be like layers of a photo. You turn it, and you see the different things happening. Yeah. It's that on a
that's
card.
Just that's oh. Too cool, really, isn't it? That's
I really
just
want
fucking
them.
Broken me.
Yeah, I know, but you know, D&D's already taken so much of my money.
I used to do one of those collectible card games. I used to play the Star Trek one. I used to have a big fold of them all.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I didn't know there was a Star Trek one, but of course there was a Star Trek one. There's
yeah,
Star Trek
there was.
I remember as a kid, this was probably way before your guys' time as well, because maybe James might remember them, but Shreddies were doing these little D&D holographic cards.
Wow.
That came in the cereal packets with Shreddies.
No, I didn't. I remember like the poppy things that you used to get, the boingy things.
Yeah, but these were just like little cards and they had a little hologram on them. And I've just looked online and for a set of like six on eBay, they're going between like 40 and 75 quid.
Oh, wow.
I want them. Oh, yeah. I want them.
But they had like goblins on them or like a zombie. And wow. You used to look at them in the light and they'd look like they were popping out of you. Right. But I definitely had some at home.
Have a look.
Some in the loft or something.
I can't believe that.
With Shreddies. You know,
Shreddies.
Yeah. The days were much better back then, weren't they? Just in general, things were so much better.
Keeping geeks D&D locked up till lunch.
The free shit was better. The other day I saw an advert for a Kinder Egg where you get a little animal, but you also get an app.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Fuck off.
The thing was, Kinder Eggs used to be good when you used to be able to build things. Now you just get
a
little...
I think you still can.
But they're not quite as... chokeable on, you know what I mean?
You used to be more like little models, right?
You got like a little car and a little metal thing inside that you could push it along and crap.
I think this is partially the wagon wheel complex though. Do you know what the wagon wheel
complex is? The wagon wheels have got smaller. Yeah. They have got smaller and if people say that they lied.
Wagon wheels back in the day when I was a kid, wagon wheels.
Big as my head.
They were like 2 metres wide.
Like you could literally fit them on a wagon.
Yeah, I remember. I had a bike that was made of wagon wheels.
It's like the Mandela effect, but for confectionery.
For the size of sweets. I don't know.
I think that for me, the best toy that I ever had, you know, in that sort of thing, were Pogs. You cannot beat
Pogs. Were
I am so annoyed. No reason that I've got rid of all my Pogs. I had thousands of Pogs.
Lots of shinies. What are they called? Shinies or metals or what were they called?
Metal slammers.
Slammers.
Shiny slammers.
Yeah.
Holographic slammers. I had slammers that were illegal at school because they had blade edges.
Yes. You used to play knuckles with them.
Because I had them like shuriken. James.
Anyone remember Conkers? Conkers was
Conkers were great.
All you rich kids.
Young shoelace and Conkers. I used to go out with
bats. They were free.
Up the trees.
I have you know, I was working at 13 and getting paid as a labourer, so I paid for my pogs, thank you very much.
Oh, very no, that's good. You deserve
it. I was crafting.
I was installing fucking PVC windows, mate. You know?
I did have a girlfriend who had
a pog habit.
I had a girlfriend who had a pog machine, like a pod, pog maker.
I remember that.
I wanted one, but never got one.
I never really got into pogs. I just emptied everyone else's pogs.
They used to make them out of Page Three.
Coveted them.
You just have like a tit of pog.
Nipple pog.
For our international listeners, Page Three was a random thing in the sun. And they still do it in the start, though, don't they?
Page three still exists in many books.
It was a law in England in the 80s that every newspaper on page three had to show boobies.
Pretty much.
Let's tell them that.
No, it's filled up with Boris Johnson, and some say not much has changed.
Yeah. Well, oh, no, at least tits are fucking useful.
Yeah.
No, don't even not tits, you know what I mean?
At least they serve a purpose.
Mm. I would not want a motorboat Boris Johnson.
No, that's right.
To recap the last episode, you guys found yourselves in the Blood of the Vine Tavern. And it was revealed to you over a series of conversations, the kind of place that you had found yourselves in, in Barovia. You found out a little bit more about this prince, Strahd von Zarevich, and what the gypsy woman was calling a curse that had befallen the land. And she was certainly trying to get across to you the depth of this curse and how deep the kind of rabbit hole goes, because Carrion, in his eagerness, was sort of just asking, so how do I lift this curse then? Let's get this job done. And it became clear to Alenka, who was your guide in that conversation, that you guys were not really aware that you couldn't really leave without, you know, a serious detriment to your health. And that this feat of defeating Strahd or lifting a curse is far deeper than you guys kind of were realized at the beginning. So because of their kind of pity on you, you have hospitality for the evening in the inn on the house, and you have been given a really fine bottle of red wine, which, by the way, as you've been sipping it, is very delicious. Hempy, you have been enjoying a lovely pot of tea.
Yes.
And you have kind of found rest in this very crowded room. So a couple of you are on floors in bed rolls. You can decide between you who's doing what. And you're basically going to try and come to some rest for the evening. Is there anything you wanted to do before that happened?
Well, nothing I can do with these two here, but
your plan for the morning, Carrion, what was it again you were...
The only reason I'm here is to find Madam so-and-so, even before speaking to the guys in the tavern. So I have no reason to go anywhere else but here.
Can I ask a question? Do the other guys know about Madam Eva?
Only I've mentioned her just now in front of them. Apart from that, I don't believe I've discussed anything.
For me, I'm still waiting for him to get back to me about that dude as well, by the way. So that I'm not really even... unless he tells us, I'm not like, oh, well, what are we going to do? Okay. I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, so, I think Karen's, you know, in the morning, there'll be a discussion, try and get out of the rest of the party. Sort of like, you know, what's the plan? Are you coming with, or are we doing this together?
Well, we've actually said, because we've seen the letters. So, let's have a nice little sleepy. Get up in the morning, cross on, fucking have a chat, see what happens.
Bosh.
So you each get a comfortable night's rest. You've lifted your point of exhaustion. You wake up somewhat refreshed in the morning. You're able to gather your things and freshen up. And as you head downstairs, Arik, the barkeep, is tidying house. the whole place is shuttered up. It's very dark, even though it's kind of potentially daytime. So it feels kind of odd. You can't really pinpoint the time of day. But he kind of nods and acknowledges you guys there. There's no one else in the bar. He looks to Hempy and he says, you were after the Burgomaster. I did send for word on him, but it's odd. My boy knocked at his door and there was no response.
Perhaps you could give me directions to to where he lives.
Absolutely. So he tells you that if you were to leave the inn and sort of come out of the front door of the inn and go straight across the road to the straight across down the road ahead of you.
Yeah.
The house at the very end of that road, which is more of a mansion, really, it's quite a large property, is the Burgomaster's residence.
Right.
He says to you, listen, we didn't get an opportunity to discuss this last night, but you should know that his daughter is very, very sick.
Yes. Yeah, I understand this is the case.
Ah, okay. I think it best you do visit in the daytime. We've heard from him not but a couple of days ago, so I'm sure everything's fine, but it's odd that he wouldn't answer. He's there protecting his daughter.
Okay.
You saw the young man in the bar last night. I don't believe you spoke to him, but he was sitting on the other end of the bar, and you recall the kind of human man that opened closed the shutters for
yes.
him and that kind of stuff.
Oh, cool, yeah.
That's his mark. That's one of our patrons. He helps me out now and again. That's the Burgomaster's son.
Okay. Does he live with the Burgomaster?
He's supposed to, but he spends most of his time in here drinking. It's a terrible shame what's befallen their family. He would be there now, I think, if you went to find them.
Okay, well, I turn to these two here anyway, and I go, I do believe that obviously we've been sent here for some reasons anyway, but one of them has to be this letter. Otherwise, I wouldn't have received it. So I would like to include in our itinerary for the day a visit to that mansion.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds good to me.
Has anyone else got any ideas of why we might be here?
I think I have some calling here, but it feels like this is the place I need to be right now.
And I haven't got a clue what the fuck I'm doing here.
Looking for puzzles.
Listen, just before we go, what was your fucking name?
My name, Hempy.
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 Anyway, we're going.
All right.
Okay. You head outside.
I know. Right. Aranis, we've swapped names, haven't we? I think
we've
you guys met. Did.
Yeah.
What's happened?
I know. I'm just checking that I know. Gav's
Oh, I thought you meant you literally had swapped names, and I wasn't aware of it. This is going to confuse the shit out of me. Okay.
So, this unlikely and tenuous friendship has been sown now, and though you are. None of you really sure of your purpose here and of your paths or whether they should be crossing at all. Feel it best to stick together, at least for the time being, as you, it does appear that you're getting many signals from the people of Barovia and the land that this place is dangerous and hides a lot of weird stuff. So you leave the Blood of the Vine Tavern into yet another drizzly, lighter rain, dreary, cloud-covered day. Instinctually, Carrion, you look up to where you saw the castle the night before, and you actually don't see it. It's cloud-covered, at least as far as you can tell. You know, the path that would lead that way. It's hard to say, but the castle's a pretty distant building, and you gather that it must be on a hilltop or something to be kind of towering over the village in the way that it was last night. So just as a kind of throwaway thought, you look to see the castle and it's not visible
not
right
visible.
Now.
Okay.
You follow the path laid out for you. As you cross the main square, from one side to the other. The building on the corner of the crossroads here, opposite the inn, appears to have its shutters open, and there is a small dim candlelight coming from the inside. All the buildings around are shuttered up, so this looks like another open business, one that wasn't open when you entered yesterday.
Can we see what it might be? Is it worth doing a check?
Yeah.
Any
well,
signs?
I can tell you without much of a check that over the door is a sign that says Bill Drath's Mercantile. A mercantile being a shop for mercenary equipment or just equipment in general. So it's a shop. If you would like to notice anything more before you either move past or try to do anything, you can ask for your rolls now. Roll perception, roll.
Yeah, I'll roll the perception. Just check it out. See.
Go for it.
If it looks what business is like. 9. Oh.
12.
I mean, what you look at, you're looking at this place and it looks very drab. It doesn't look like any kind of shop you've ever seen before. It looks almost like a makeshift, like house come shop. The sign doesn't really fit over the door.
Thing. That and makes like, me want to go in there because that sounds like
it definitely looks interesting.
Life.
Is there anything else anyone would particularly like to investigate or just...
There was a light coming through the window.
Yeah, you can see...
Candlelight.
Yeah, someone's lit a candle inside.
I've got no reason... I would like to have a mooch around for some, you know, equipment if things look a bit tasty around here, which they do, but I don't think that's important yet. I don't think I would feel a need to... Oh, well, before we go, let's... pop in, you know, it'd be like, well, let's do this and then let's go there afterwards.
I am just telling you, you're passing a shop basically. You do whatever you want.
A shop exists. I pay no attention other than just looking over to it and going, oh, it's open. I'll remember
you
that.
Would have noticed it. That's cool. Why I was pointing out to you. So the party will continue on to the Burgomaster's house. You head down that road. Everything seems quiet, almost peaceful. Bit of rain pitter patter on the cobblestones and obviously your own footsteps as you kind of walk along. You can kind of hear your armor move and you're walking through a narrow thoroughfare of houses, and they're all kind of different shapes, sizes, hippity pickledy. Very kind of tall pointed spires on the houses and gates, and they cast many moving shadows, and every now and again each of you have to kind of look very quickly out the corner of your eye to see a shifting movement, only to find that it's kind of, you know, a shadow on the gate that's moving strangely as you walk by. As you head further down this road, and it's a pretty long road, probably about 30 houses, 15 or so either side, you start to hear a faint crying, and you now remember that you heard it the night before as you entered the town. A loud wailing, but now this is a silent, a quiet sobbing.
Is it a female sound or a child? Or
it sounds...
I mean, is it an insight or anything?
I think you would have to,
21.
Oh, yeah. You can tell that this is a tired, sorrowful sob from an middle to older-aged woman. At least that's what you gather from the sound.
It's coming from the Indirovich house.
Actually, no. It's coming from a house off to the left. So one that you're about to pass heading to the Indirovich house. It's not a desperate cry. It's just a slow, sorrowful, mournful sob.
Is it just a normal looking house?
Or perception.
16. Oh, it's not going to be a 91. 21
is super
no, it's
familiar.
More than that. 20. I've got a plus 6, so 16 plus
amazing.
6. 22. There we go.
Yeah, it's it looks like the surrounding architecture. You can pinpoint with that, you know, exactly where this sobbing's coming from. The upstairs of a two-story building, a gate at the front that leaves a small gap between itself and the front door of a few feet. The gate is open. You don't notice any light from inside the house, meaning that there's actually windows, but there's no light coming through. There's no lights on. No one's lit a candle. No one's lit a fire. That's what you can see.
do any of us want it? Do we feel to stop? Because this is the voice we heard. This is, we did hear this the night before, but we're also, we're going to this mansion. I don't know what my character.
No, I'm thinking it's, if I've heard. What were the circumstances in which we heard it before? Just remind me.
When you entered the village, you heard loud, intense wailing, and you weren't sure where it was coming from.
And I know now that this is the same person.
So it sounds like it to Hempy.
I think that's the same sound from last night, Nico. Now you know too.
Now you think about it, you're not sure it ever actually stopped.
No, I'm you not sort sure of, it ever stopped.
It was in the background the whole time.
Okay.
And when you woke up, you sort of heard it, but it was definitely less prominent because it's not so desperate today as it was yesterday.
I think I'd continue on for now.
Okay.
Do you know what? I think we have no reason to. We know this is a weird place. So I don't think.
Yeah,
that
it could
would
just be a creepy house, couldn't it?
Yeah, and if anything, I don't particularly want to go in anywhere where, you know, we've got a reason to go where we're going. I don't want to be like, yeah. Oh, what's that strange noise? Let's investigate. It's like, it's going to be fucking zombies or some shit. Like, yeah, I'm all right.
We'll get in there when we really get to the point where we can't stand it any longer.
Yeah, just finger in ear as I walk past.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So you walk past. Okay. And as you distance yourself from the building, the sobbing grows lighter and lighter. And if you really pay attention, you'll hear it, but pay attention more to the goal in front of you. You head towards what you've been told is the Burgomaster's residence, and it is indeed a much grander mansion. Three stories, windows to either side of the front door. It's shuttered up. That is what stands before you. How would you like to do this?
We'll stroll up and give a knock.
Yeah, knock and knock. Hello.
Go for it.
Okay. You walk up to the large wooden door. You give a confident rap. Three knocks.
Boom, boom, boom.
You wait for a moment. Hold for a beat. Roll a perception, Aranis.
19.
You swear you hear movement, but
excuse
no
me.
One has answered.
I'm going to give Hempy a little nudge on the shoulder and sort of like...
All right, well, I'm going to climb onto the roof.
Fucking hell, okay. All right.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Strange ways protest.
I just fucking meant knock again, but all right, son, up you go. Wait, do you want to bunk up?
Yeah, start chucking down the lead.
This will be your first experience into what is known in D&D as dope monk shit.
Mm-hmm. Is this an acrobag check?
Yes, acrobatics or athletics, whichever you prefer.
I think I'm proficient in acrobatics, so let's hope it works. No, it's only 11.
Hempy, do you have the feat that stops you from falling?
Featherfall, isn't it, something like that?
I want to say, no,
I'm not
Featherfall.
Sure.
I want to say that I've read it on your character sheet. I can't remember what it was.
Slowfall, yes, I've got Slowfall.
Which I believe means that you take half fall damage or whatever, and there's some awesome dope punk shit that means
it reduces by 20.
What, 20 points of damage?
Yeah.
Well, then you would take no damage from this shit.
You gain 5 health points.
Doesn't work like that. Basically, even when you make a mistake at this level, it sort of looks cool. I tried, but I couldn't get the grip that I needed. Yeah, it's more the house than it is you. There's not really much to grasp on this fascia. And getting anywhere else around the house and onto the roof would require getting through some brambles, and you just don't fancy that today.
I'm just going to just look at Hempy and go, as Pelor once said, if thou art to climb your greatest heights, knock again. And then I'm going to knock on the door again.
I think I'd just look at him and actually burst out laughing. Like he said the funniest thing in the world.
I love these made-up spiritual sermons that you're giving every now and again.
He's definitely read the Book of Pelor.
You knock again, and this time the movement is more noticeable. There's more of a scuffle behind the door. And... eventually you hear some very sort of heavy dragging of furniture and interesting sounds from behind the door. Heavy armaments and chains, right. And
boarding the door up.
Sort of comically, you know, long time that you're waiting there to hear all this stuff move. And then eventually the door is pulled open.
Oh, I see. Okay, right. The opposite. I thought they were boarding it up, right.
And you see a young man, just like the center slither of his face. And he asks, yes, can I help you? Who knocked? Carrion, you knocked.
I knocked, and then he knocked.
I'm kind of sitting back, because for me, I feel that this is Hempe's thing.
Okay, well,
you know. Great.
Okay, well, I have received... Is it the boy from the bar, by the way?
It is the boy from the bar. Yeah. If you step up to the door and you see the center sliver of his face, you recognise because you sat at the bar.
You recognise his ass.
Long, blonde hair. Well, married. Tempe's married. Give him a break.
Is this Ismark?
Did I give you his name?
Yeah, it was Ismark. Yeah.
It certainly looks like the same young man that was at the bar last night that you didn't speak to, but...
Okay, well, I'll just say to him, greetings, I received your father's note, kind of clocking it's the boy. You did say it was the son, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we received your father's note. We come here to help.
Okay, he holds out his hand, says, can I see the note?
Yeah, I show him. I'll pass him the note.
He takes the note and he shuts the door.
Rude.
And you stand there for a second. A beat passes and you're like, wait, did he just... like? And then he opens the door again.
Okay.
What note did you hand him? The one you received from...
Yeah, like the Kolyan Indirovich's letter, the actual one from the Burgomaster.
Which seal did it have?
It had the ravens, didn't it? The raven and the raven and the tower.
So this would be the letter that you received at the bar in Daggerford.
Oh yes, right, okay. Right. One that was slipped to me or something, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. So he takes the letter, he opens the door, and he hands it back to you and he says, I'm sorry, friend, you've been misled. This letter was not written by my father. And he looks very sad but also rushed, and he tries to kind of give you the letter, hand it back, and kind of get back inside. And
can I put my foot in the door?
Yeah, I was absolutely going for that as well. Yeah,
roll a dex check, monk.
Dexterity. I should, because it's quite quiet for my dexterity.
Should be. You've got
what did I roll? 22.
Yeah, you get your foot in that door very quickly. Yeah.
I look at him, I go, look, son, we just want to help.
Roll a persuasion check.
I think I'm a
check.
Bit like, you know, a bald Mr. Miyagi, so I look cute and kind of...
Give me that persuasion roll, James.
16.
Yeah, he's somewhat browbeaten, and you look at him, he looks very tired, super dark bags under his eyes, very, like, sweaty brow, and he says, if you've come here to help, I would really appreciate some help right now, but you need to understand that what you would get yourself into right now is something you can't get out of. There's no other side to this.
I do believe that's already the case, so...
I know what you mean. Okay, come in. So he opens the door and offers you all into the Burgomaster's mansion.
Right.
Do you go in, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody, he kind of tries to rush you guys inside, and he's looking around, he's looking up. Outside the door behind you, and he tries to, you know, gets it shut as quickly as possible. As you get inside, you see that there is bars on the inside across the windows, the doors, there's chains, there's furniture pushed up. In fact, this place is kind of looks a bit turned over because everything's been pushed against windows, walls, doors, the lot. So the question you had earlier about what it looked like from the outside, it looks like shutters. From the inside, it looks like Fort fucking Knox. They have gone to lengths to bar this place up, and he again goes to the arduous task of pushing a dresser against the front door, bringing, you know, all this stuff over.
Are you trying to keep something out or keep something in?
Well, that's
someone should totally fart right now.
That is that's a really good question, and the answer is both.
That's your answer.
You see, my come and sit. So he brings you into the dining hall, which is actually pretty big, you know, for a homestead right in this back. In this town. This is the Burgomaster's Handle for all. You all have to kind of find a random chair because there's nothing kind of at the table. So a random chair. And he kind of sits down in the chair and is slumped and he's tired. And he says, "My father, the Burgomaster of this town, has sadly perished. Mm. He's been dead for something like 72 hours, 3 days now. He sits untouched in the other room across the way. We cannot move him to bury him because there is something very much after us." And at this point, you realize he's talking about us. Who's us? Who's this other person? Points to Hempin. He says, the woman mentioned in that letter, some of what was said in that letter was true. Except that it was my father's daughter, not his lover, that has been inflicted with this terrible plight. Do you know much more of our situation? Was it just this letter?
Well, all I know is that we're all trapped here, including yourself.
You know about Strahd?
I know about Strahd,
to some extent. For the people,
we were told a little.
People are being very blasé, if you will, about the situation. We know there is a prince that is powerful, and there is a curse on Bavaria, whatever this place is called.
I wouldn't call him a prince, and neither would any other Barovian. He is a devil. He is the sickest of any individuals that I've ever had the misfortune of meeting.
So I take it the gypsies are somewhat fans of...
The gypsies get their way, shall we say. The gypsies stay on side because it behooves them to stay on side. I, however, am here trying to protect my sister. And originally my father too, but he managed to get to him.
So why don't you tell us what you know of Strahd then, from a non-gypserical perspective?
Gypserical, that's a great word. I'm going to write that down for
that's
future.
That's a real word.
here's what I know, and I'll be honest, I don't know the full history. This land has been like this as far as I remember. I am 25. My sister's 19, 20 next year. And
I look at Aranis and shake my head no.
Stop it. And we have both grown up like other Barovians in this village, knowing only this life, this dreary, miserable existence, fighting with all manner of horror from the Svelic woods, trading with the towns further over past the mountains, and watching the horrific march of those lost souls every bloody night ever since that the last stand against him. Here's what I can tell you about our situation. Strahd has taken a liking to my sister. He is besotted with her, and when a man that mad doesn't get what he wants, he stops at nothing. But he can't just take her. She has to be somewhat willing. In his sick fantasies, she becomes his bride, and they live forever, happily ever after, devils together, feasting on the remains of the people of this land. So I am doing all I can to stop that, and so was my father. She is not weak, but she does grow weaker, and every night she is visited by torturous dreams and visions that I fear that she will either burst her way out of this house to find him and reach him, or she'll tear her own eyes out. I am at my wit's end, and there was once two of us trying to help her. Now there is only one, until you guys came along. I have a feeling that if I can get her away from this part of Barovia, out of his immediate glare, then we may be able to ease her pain, ease her torture, and keep her out of his sight for just a short time until I can find some other way to relieve her of this problem.
So, are you aware of what condition affects her?
She is affected by his charms. I don't know how he visits her. It's sometimes in his dreams. She has been... she's been found, you know, halfway outside of the village in a trance, wandering to his castle. or at least it appeared that way. And the last time that happened, we essentially chained her down. It only happens at night. So if we move in the daytime, we know that she, or we feel as though she won't be...
What we need is we need a prison cart.
Taken.
We need something. We need a prison. No, honestly, because the thing is we need to keep her safe. We need to keep her in something sturdy.
Can we...
we need a prison cart.
Can we meet your sister?
I would like to see her.
Yeah.
I think you probably should. Ismark really perks up at Hempy's kind of, you know, keenness to help and coming up with ideas, because he's kind of thinking, he says to you, I've been thinking the same thing. There are travellers, there are towns on the other side of the mountain in Barovia, but we trade with them, you know, people move from town to town. There might be a way that we could somehow secretly move her. Come follow me. So he takes you through to the central hall and leads you up a staircase to a bedroom that is, again, barred shut. He has to, you know, almost get your assistance to lift some of the wooden blocks off of the door. And then once it's all cleared and ready, he gently knocks, politely. And a voice from inside says, "Come in."
After you, boys.
Then he opens the door and he says, "Oh, sister, we might have had some help in our deepest time of need." And she kind of weakly scoffs and says, "We've been in need for years, brother. I don't really see how this is any different." But she kind of lifts herself up out of a bed, which is, you know, a classic Victorian four-poster bed, velvet sheets draped across. She wears, you know, not night clothes, day clothes. She's, you know, corseted up and has a full-on outdoor skirt and cloak on, and she lifts herself up out of the bed. She looks achy and tired, but she lifts her eyes up to you all and she kind of smiles and she says, "You're willing to help us?"
"Yeah, I think we can sort something out."
I know what that means.
Does she look like Kate Beckinsale?
She looks like... Wait, I can show you what she looks like. Can you guys see that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she looks like.
Very good.
So, not really Kate Beckinsale, but...
No.
Close enough. Well, she says, "Forgive me. You catch me at a kind of rough time of day. I will be much stronger by the time, you know, midday hits. But the nights really do take it out of me."
"It seems you've been afflicted by something. Now, would you be okay if I examined you?"
She looks at her brother.
"I am a doctor."
Her brother, who's standing in the room.
Yeah. What kind of doctor are you? Hold on, wait a minute. She's gonna roll a deception check, Aranis.
There we go. I think I got a good deception as well. Rolled a 7 in total.
She rolled a 7 also.
Ooh.
So her perception has to be more than...
But you've got 7+1, didn't you? So...
I got 6+1.
Oh, so she beats you.
Damn.
So she looks at you and gives a kind of cheeky side grin. She's not offended by the attempt, at least. And for Carrion's benefit, Aranish just tried to examine the patient and said, "I'm a doctor." And she saw right through it. And she almost sort of took it as you weren't really.
She almost went, okay.
She's charmed by it. And she says, "Though I appreciate the attempt, you're not a doctor. But I can assure you, I've been seen by doctors and clerics and anyone that my dear brother could get his hands on from here, between here and the other village, which is called Valaki."
And these other physicians, what have they told you? Have they found anything? Are there any symptoms or marks?
She says, "No, I have not been fed upon by Strahd at this point. My symptoms are somewhat like
COVID.
You know, like a I've got shortness of breath and temperature, hands, face, space. My symptoms are that of an incredibly powerful charm.
Okay.
And though I have seen many warlocks and sorcerers, and in particular one rather stupid mage, none of them were able to lift or dispel, or they've all tried. You're welcome to try. I've been through it all at this point."
I'm gonna Carrion steps up. "Please, your hands, if you wouldn't mind so much." I'm just gonna hold out my hands, like this, for her to put her hands in it.
She does, she obliges.
Be like, if you wouldn't mind just humouring me for a few moments. And I'm going to close my eyes and kind of, this is hopefully she follows suit. Pelor, god of, deity of light, speak now unto us to cure this lovely lady of any bad influences that capture her soul." And I'm just gonna go quiet for a bit, and then I'm gonna sort of open my eye and look at her. Nothing's happened. "Bless us with your light and cleanse her soul." "Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pelor. He says you have been cured." And I'm going to release her hands and be like, "You don't have to worry now. You should be absolutely fine."
She looks at you. Originally, when you first opened your one eye, she was kind of smiling at you sweetly. Now she looks at you confused. She looks at her brother and she says to you, I didn't feel anything.
They all say that.
I guess we need that reward now.
Do you actually mention that reward that was in that letter?
No, I haven't mentioned. I've mentioned it to the other two.
Okay.
I mentioned it to Aramis.
What was the reward?
Just loads of wealth. Oh, I mean, it was very unspecific. It was one of those.
Yeah.
Well, just to circle back a little bit, Ismark mentions to his sister and to you, the letter you showed him is merely a ruse from Strahd himself. That is his
handiwork.
That's his mark.
The letter we handed him was the stay away, don't come here letter. Is that right?
Nope. Letter you handed him was the letter that Hempe picked up in the bar. You still have the one that you found on the...
Have so we showed him the other letter?
No, we can pull that one out of the bag.
Yeah. Well, Pelor works in mysterious ways, my dear. It may take some time to take effect. This is how I believe it to be true. When you go home tonight, look into it. I'm sure you'll find understanding within that reason.
Is Carrion bullshitting, or does he believe that there should be a change?
It's hard to
put it this way. You decide. Roll deception or persuasion.
You're a bit like a medium where they believe that they're doing a good thing, but really they're just talking shit.
They don't realise they're calling.
I don't know how much I want to say, but I think you can sense from him, the stuff that he keeps doing is almost as he picked up Clerics for Dummies 101.
Yes, that kind of. What I'm trying to gather is if Irina thinks you are a sweet simpleton or a fucking idiot. That's what you need to prove to her. So if you roll persuasion, she'll think you're a sweet idiot. If you roll deception, she might catch you out and think you're complete. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think persuasion is what I would go for.
Cool.
He would roll persuasion on himself. You know, that's the vibe.
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to gather. Is like, where's the mark of the faith here, really?
I rolled a 2, natural, was it a persuasion?
Mm-hmm.
That's a 4 total.
She just gives you a nod. Okay, thank you, she says. I still feel as though we should probably get out of here. What were we doing? The letters.
Yes.
So to mention the letter that you actually gave, you said this is nothing but a ruse. I can't promise you anything. I can't even, you know... Upon reading that letter, you wouldn't have known that you couldn't even get out of here. So, you know, you take these risks on your own will. I will give you whatever I can, but this place is not... There's no new money here.
Well...
People trade in trinkets and weird old artifacts from loved ones once gone. It's nothing new ever happens here.
Well, irrespective of that, I think this is our course. So how do you feel about this trip to the other town? Do you think it will help? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Irina pipes up and says...
Yeah, that's who
I am not leaving.
You're not leaving?
And Ismark says, wait, no, come on, we've talked about this. And she says, no, I will not have every aspect of my life controlled by this devil. We will bury our father before I leave this town.
Where should we bury him?
There's a churchyard. And Ismark says, tries to cut in and say, come on, you know, it's not necessary. And she says, it's more necessary now than it has ever been. If we don't get this man to our family church, to our beloved consecrated ground for him to lie with the family... I will never forgive myself. If his soul goes to that devil, then I might as well be dead.
If you don't mind me asking, how did the old man perish?
He was attacked. He was doing a perimeter check, and one of the devil's minions, one of his many tricks, got at him. And it was just too strong for his heart. He wasn't a young man.
By minion, you mean?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I was locked inside when it happened. Ismark found his body outside in the morning.
Was there any physical damage?
Ismark says, well, I brought him inside, but I couldn't really bring myself to look. Would you like to examine the body?
Now, if I was level 5, examining the body would be very fucking handy, because... One of my third level spells is Speak with Dead.
so you haven't got a third level spell yet.
I'm not quite there yet, but fuck it. Let's go talk to a corpse.
Okay, well, he leads you into a room which has also been barred, and, you know, likely because it's kind of still getting a little bit stinky in there. Opens the door, lights a couple of candles around the room just so you can see what you're doing. And in the centre of the room on the floor is the body of the Burgomaster. A chubby man with a long, kind of bright grey and silver elaborately decorated robe. Very fine clothing. Dead. Dead as a doorknob.
I suppose it would be wrong to search the corpse.
I was trying to find a way to distract them while we did it.
He's expecting you to go over to the corpse and have a look and move around. So,
well, while we're over at the corpse, because I was like, I need a minute with my men. right? And we go over to the corpse together, let's say. And then I just kind of also whisper to them, it's like, right, I mean, we're either going to have to take this corpse and bury it, or hit her over the head and take her to this other place. But I think it's going to be easier to hit her over the head. To bury the body. So we can search the body while we're doing that.
I think I've missed something. Where are we going?
You're currently still inside the house. You're looking, I believe, for a cause of death.
Mm. Yeah.
On the body, just to see what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
She won't leave or go along with any plan to escape.
Where was he taking her?
Right, so what it is...
We're taking her to another village.
What it is we're going to take her to this... Her brother's plan is to take her to this other village, which is going to be out of the sight of Strahd.
Sorry,
which
I think that's
help her recover a bit. She won't go until she buries Daddy.
Yes.
So, it's like I say, obviously we can force her to go, but like, I was thinking about, try and do it if we can lock her up in something. Take her there, but it's going to be a lot easier if we've got her willing to do it.
Yes.
So I think it's better to bury this body. And as far as I'm concerned, we're doing this. We're helping these people. I'm not in it for the money. I'm doing it because that's why I'm here.
Monks do.
Yeah.
Who wants to run a medicine check real quick?
I'll run a medicine check.
We'll be wrapping up in a sec.
Yeah.
I'll fill the body up. 12, natural 20.
Hey. Oh, beautiful. Okay. So, looking over the body, you see no physical marks on him that would constitute, a wound that would have caused his death.
Check his jugular, because apparently doesn't that go hard if you have a heart attack or something?
I don't know. If that's what it does, then that's what you find.
Yeah, because she said that. Okay, cool. Because she said that.
As you kind of turn his face towards you, and kind of lift up the eyelids to see how long he's been gone for. He's kind of got a distinct look on his face.
Frightened condition or something to that effect.
Yeah, his face is clenched backwards, and you kind of notice that the Ismark winces a little bit as he looks at him, and he says to you, "That's not what our father looked like. He appears to be in immense pain or terror, and I think one of Strahd's horrific illusions, or even maybe just one of his minions, frightened him enough that
he was scared to death.
Yeah.
And Ismark kind of is a bit just finding it difficult to stomach, clearly, so he's kind of stepping outside for a sec, like out of the room for a second, just take a breather and stuff.
Don't want to search the body.
Go for it.
You can if you want. I'm just going to go outside with him, so you go ahead.
Oh, investigation plus one,
19. 19. You find...
I think the reason, because this is a weird, shitty thing to do, but I think the reason I'm doing this is that I'm doing this as a backhanded insight check to the brother and sister. I'm looking for any evidence of what they're saying happened to it.
Treachery.
I mean, I believe what they're saying, some sort of I'm in this weird place. This is very well could be a dream, but they're also saying that this man died because he was frightened by the ghoul of a man who lives in a castle. And it's like, I'm just going to check everything because this is fucking weird.
Get on Wiki, innit, and check it out.
Yeah, I just want to, if I go in these pockets and find a bloodied knife or something, then it's like, well, okay, maybe he didn't. That's not how he died. You know, it's strange.
You're just looking for more evidence that backs up their claim.
Yeah, for me, someone dying of being frightened or scared, from where I'm from, people die because they've been cut to pieces or they've drowned or whatever, you know? Like, it's not... That's not normal for me.
Well, what you find is a few... there's 3 gold and like 30 silver
I ping a gold piece to both of Aranis and Envy.
I don't catch one.
I pick it up.
There's no notes. There's no effects
or anything
him.
Like that.
He does have a ring on his left hand.
Anything?
Wedding finger that has like a sovereign, like a really big, beefy sovereign.
What's on the what coin is in that?
No, it says dad.
It's just it looks like
says,
dad, yeah.
It says WFC WHFC.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It's an elaborate design that you. Okay. You would have to roll a history check maybe to see if you recognised.
I will
what
if
the
that's
design
right.
Was.
I suppose I'm sort of doing an investigation, like I'm just looking at what's on him and you know, like it's a
That's what's on him.
That's what's on him. Come on. Fuck's that, I'm rolling like an absolute asshole. I rolled a 2 and my investigation is a fucking +1.
It's pretty ring.
Pretty ring.
Can I have a look at his pretty ring?
Like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I know this is completely debunking it, but I'm like, I suppose you recognise this coin. Is it a coin?
It's a sovereign ring.
Sovereign ring.
Right.
And I rolled a 2.
Fuck.
Me.
You both look at it and you go, that's a pretty ring.
It's a pretty ring. Hempy, over here.
Chubby man's fingers.
All right, I have a look at the ring. What am I rolling?
History.
Sorry, this is terrible.
Look, 10.
Okay, so you don't recognise immediately the imagery on this ring, but what you gather is that a lot of it is vine-based fauna.
Okay.
So you look at this ring, and the kind of inscription, the image on it is some vines. Some fruit.
Blood of the vine.
That's the design.
Vines and fruit. Okay, well, I feel that I would just put the ring back on the dead man's finger.
Oh, yeah.
No one took it off, I don't think.
Oh, no one took it off.
No, just
and
looking
so
at
that
it.
Is an exceptional, that is an exceptional piece.
It's a nice ring.
And the pub.
And the
is
ring's not
called...
bad either.
Blood,
sorry.
Blood of the vine.
Blood of the vine, yeah.
And this has got. Vines and fruit.
I'm gonna head out to the brother and sister and rejoin them.
So Irina has emerged from her room, and she's kind of gathered herself a little bit, appears to be a little bit more awake.
I'm just gonna say, like, your mother must be terribly upset.
Our mother died many years ago.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
I wouldn't worry. It's a mistake you'll make many times meeting people of these towns. All of us have lost people. In fact, I'm... this is Irina talking. In fact, I'm not actually my father's daughter. I was adopted.
Oh, well, what happened to your mother, if you don't mind me asking? I've asked about your dad. It only seems fair.
It's more... about what happens to the people of Barovia, and she looks at Ismark and he kind of just nods and gives her the okay to give you the information. He says, you see, this curse, this the way that this land has been this way for, we actually don't know the count, maybe 100 years, maybe more. Our ancestors that were here on the day that this change occurred in Barovia have been here ever since. Some have joined, but none have left. And what that means is that Well, our souls are trapped. Okay. You will meet Barovians in your time here. And I don't mind telling you that some of them don't have souls. They are perfectly normal human people, but they have been born in a plane bereft of a soul. And what we have found is, over the years that happens to us, is that the souls that are trapped here reincarnate. And my brother has a soul, I have a soul, our father had one, Arik at the inn, I'm sure you've met, has one. But some Barovians don't, and it's very sad, but it means that our existence as a people is quite empty. And adoption is common. You know, soulless children are miserable and meek, whereas children with souls need that bit more protection and nurturing. And it's cruel and it's evil, and I wish it wasn't the case, but it is true that children with souls are more sought after.
So it's safe to say that maybe this Strahd fella wants your soul.
That is exactly the case. When he comes to me in my dreams, I am overwhelmed with the feeling of deep love for him. I don't know this man, but when I'm in those trances, I feel like I've known him for millennia. And I can only assume that the soul that lives in this body was once attached to his.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that, yeah. Do you ever have any, considering you suggest that souls reincarnate, do you ever have any dreams that suggest a previous life for you? Any memories that you haven't had, but maybe your soul has?
I can't speak to a specific memory, but just a feeling that I have known him before.
Have you ever had any artwork done of you? any oil paintings?
In a loft. she said it would be in this house if I did.
I think, yeah, no, that one, I didn't ask that. I just want her insight check her and make sure she is get a gauge on how.
Roll it.
You know, is this just shits and gigs, or is this, you know?
Roll it.
Come on. It's like my third two.
Jeez.
I have a plus six to insight, so at least it's an eight.
Yeah, she's you feel very very trusted of this woman.
Sure.
She looks weak and meek, and she needs your help, and she's so desperate, and she is clearly so distraught by this devil that haunts her, that the idea of leaving her father unburied makes her incredibly upset. This is what she needs to do in order to push through this darkness.
Well, it looks like we're going to a funeral.
And that is where we'll leave it for tonight.
From all of us here at The Dice and Die, thank you so much for downloading our podcast. If you enjoy listening to us, then please head over to iTunes, Stitcher or Podchaser.com and leave us a review. Thank you to our very own James Bly for all the music you hear during our shows. And finally, thank you to, me, this is awkward, for all your video production, audio editing and content creation needs. Head over to my website, seanleefilms.co.uk. Thank you once again, and we'll see you next time. The Dice and Die is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Danger. Mystery. Intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the Dungeon Master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vanzafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire.
Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dyson Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits to Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Design, a 5e actual play podcast.
Here at Pen and Slabs, we take our episodes seriously. Observe!
Natural one.
Confounded dragon. I must prepare for next week.
Why? What are we doing next week, Bellry?
The same thing we do every week, Dragon. Try to accent the world.
It's Penance RPG.
Penance RPG. The definition of insanity.